Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, October the 16th, 290th day of the new year. Happy Bosses Day, everybody. Joining us this afternoon is the boss of the city of Arcata, Randy Mendoza.
No, correction. The mayor is the boss. Say, you know.
Yeah, the electeds.
Yeah, right.
But if you were in charge, wouldn't there have been candidates running for city council?
There are. There's three candidates running for city council, and they're on the ballot.
Any of them running opposed?
No, they're not running opposed.
See? You're not doing your job.
They must be doing a great job.
There should be some discussion of what's going on, how great the city's going, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, we could have that discussion. I'm always happy to do that.
Well, that's not the purpose of the show.
Actually, things are going well.
Good. We'll talk about how come. Also, Randy brought in another one of the historical binders. This one, the corners are intact, so it's looking pretty sharp. We'll talk about what the budget was like 120 years ago. I bet you can't even come close to what the figure was.
There should be a call-in prize for the one that gets it the first.
I don't think we could be here for 3 hours. Nobody would know. Of course, nobody knows if we're here for 3 hours anyway.
Right. Well, stay tuned for the mystery will be solved.
There we go. When we come back.
I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip about not being a prunomaniac. The conscientious gardener needs to know that each kind of plant has its own best time to be pruned. Avoid shearing flowering plants into shapes which really look unnatural. Thin flowering shrubs with a hand pruner. I'm Mark Viette with today's garden tip.
You've got to get up pretty early in the morning to hear Mark Viette and his wealth of gardening knowledge. 5 to 7 a.m. Sundays on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 314. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Alistair Cook. A professional is a man who can do his best at a time when he doesn't particularly feel like it.
Does that go for the present time or present moment? Or
why? Yeah, he's still alive, isn't he?
I don't know. I haven't seen. I don't think so. His program is off the air, I think.
Well, I probably shouldn't make any speculations then. You'll
have to call your friends at PBS, your colleagues at PBS to find
out. I'll ask Aaron to do a text search. Probably be quicker that way.
Probably.
Yeah.
But
so,
not as much fun.
What in the world is going on with Arcata?
Well, the sun has come out. We had a nice rain and kind of washed things down, and now the sun is out, and people seem content.
Have you had the rash of new visitors that the city of Eureka has had?
Yes.
How do you deal with it?
It's been a real problem for all of our staffs. And we're not quite sure the demographics behind them, but a lot of people seem to be calling them the kids with the trimmer scissors looking for employment. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but there's a lot of them. They're young, and they kind of hang around, and quite a few of them have been creating some challenges for the police department and the businesses. And what I keep telling people is this rain we had last night is certainly didn't hurt.
Quick update on Alistair Cook. Died 9 years ago.
Oh, I guess so. We got to get around a little bit.
That could explain why his TV show was canceled.
Yeah.
I
can't say.
Back on topic.
Okay.
It really, I think, for a lot of us, there are a bunch of different levels where there are issues with this. I mean, there's the visual. Angie and I got a chance to sneak out, did some errands, and there was one of the renovated school buses.
Yeah.
And it stopped. And out came, I think there were three or four kids that didn't look like they were going to school.
Yeah.
Or had in the last period of time. 8 or 10 that could easily qualify what you're talking about by their garb, by their mannerisms, by their lack of seemingly having anywhere to go. And they stopped parked in a parking lot, emptied out, and they were deciding that they were going to sun themselves. You see that kind of stuff. I commented as we were coming back to the studio, I probably should have taken a picture, because I don't think a lot of people that are our buddies in the Midwest and the East realize that this is our reality check here. Whether it's Arcata, Fortuna, Eureka, that part doesn't matter. This is what we deal with this time of the year.
Well, I always say when we have this discussion is I always say don't profile what people look like, but profile what they do. So, yeah, if people want to lay out and do nothing, then that's fine with me as long as you're not hurting anybody else. But when they come in and they're doing drug deals and they're shoplifting and leaving their abandoned school buses for us to dispose of at about $800 to $1,000 a pop when they don't run anymore, those are examples of a severe impact on a small community.
Do you see... I mean, intrinsically, it would be there. But do you see a fall off in the retail sales tax dollars? I know you get them monthly instead of weekly or daily. But when you're talking to the storekeepers, when this time of the year comes by, do they see a drop almost the day when they arrive?
I don't think so. I should say that's... I haven't looked directly at, you know, with that question in mind, but it's I think that our retail sales have been they haven't been robust, but they've been steady and they've been increasing, you know, a little bit every year. So I think we're doing pretty well.
But you don't so you guys don't see a softening when these folks come to town, people wanting to avoid dealing with or interacting with them?
I haven't, but I haven't looked with that question in mind, and my anecdotal guess is that there is not a significant impact, because in the summertime I think that the downtown, the businesses are doing a lot better than the winter, for instance. Yeah,
normal business cycles.
Yeah, and in the fall too, this time, you know, in the students, you know, we have Humboldt State University, and that's a $90 million economic engine up on the hill in our town, and you know, we have new students coming to town and shopping, and my guess is that we're probably up because of the students coming to town.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Randy Mendoza.
There's a brand new show on KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Country Gold with Randy Owen, Sunday evenings from 8 till midnight. It's a four-hour intensive music show hosted by the lead vocalist of the group Alabama. Country Gold will feature 13 songs per hour and highlighted music from the 70s to the mid-90s. Be sure to listen to KEKA 101 Thunder Country, Sunday evening from 8 till midnight. Country Gold with Randy Owen.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Time is 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, this time of the year, as you mentioned, school is in session. The Humboldt kids are here. They're pretty much have settled into their patterns. With some of the changes that have been going on campus, with the housing, with the parking, some of those types of things, what is the challenge now for the city?
In terms of
interaction with the school,
interaction with students?
Or with the students, yeah.
Well, I think one of the things that I think that would strike a tone with your listeners is bicyclists and skateboarders weaving in and out of traffic. That's something that
that's not new necessarily.
No, it isn't, but I think it really we get a lot of complaints this time of year, and I just want to tell people this is something that our police department's been talking with the university officials about and asking for renewed attempts to educate the new students in town that that our streets are not slalom courses, and bicycles need to follow the rules of the road just like cars. But it's very frustrating for motorists. And I look out my office window and I just saw a motorist almost hit a skateboard. In fact, the skateboarder had to jump on the hood of the car to keep from getting struck. It was just yesterday, the day before.
Jumped on top of the car?
Pretty much, yeah.
Zipping through the crosswalk?
Yeah, and then they yelled at each other and drove their separate directions. So it is a problem. I think it's a typical college town problem, but when it's our problem now. And I think the motorists and also the bicyclists, you know, I think the responsible bicycle community is not happy with the unsafe riding of some of our new members of town.
Yeah, the skateboard thing seems like it's a little... curious might be a good term. I'm not figured it out Yeah, and I probably will never. Mm-hmm. When I used to do it, I would sit on the silly thing, go rocketing down the hill and, you know, slide into bushes and that kind of stuff as fun. But it seems almost like it's for a segment, you know, subculture again, because we see some, we're close to Booner Hill.
Yeah.
And we see them, and they're passing the cars. They're not going in and out. So they're going like 30, 35 sure. miles an hour. Some have the protection, some don't. Some look like it's a trailer. I mean, the size of some of these things.
They are.
It's a different dynamic. As a former badge, what would you recommend for people who are driving? I mean, particularly if these folks are coming up faster than what cars are.
I think you really have to pay attention and not get distracted, because they could come out of nowhere. They come the wrong way on one-way streets. They come off of sidewalks. They come off of alleys, and they're fast. And if you're not paying attention, or if you allow yourself to get distracted, you're liable to hit one, and it could ruin your life.
Not to mention theirs.
Yeah. Not to mention theirs.
Are skateboarders, subject to the California Vehicle Code? Because there's no motor, certainly. The wheels, I don't know.
No, I suppose they could be, it's been a while since I've researched this, but I suppose they could be classified as a vehicle, because a bicycle is a vehicle. It's just not a motor vehicle. But I think skateboarders are pretty much regarded as pedestrians, and they have to follow the, you know, the rules of the road. They can't jump in front of the cars and take the right away from other vehicles, whether it's a bicycle or a car or a truck or whatever. But in Arcata, for instance, we have an ordinance that requires that they have reflective clothing if they're out after dark, so that they can be seen.
Now, the skateboarders could also be using the bike lanes, right?
Yes.
So there are accommodations that have been made for them.
Yes, and they could. I suppose they could use the traffic lanes as well, but they can't go against traffic and cut across traffic and pass unsafely on the right and so forth, is which something I see probably at least two or three times a day at the minimum.
If that's the biggest complaint.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Huh?
Does that mean, that things are pretty good, or does that mean that there are other things that are out there that just aren't as prevalent?
Well, I think things are good, you know, and I constantly thank our blessings when I see a lot of cities around the country and around our state that are in peril. I think in Arcata, our economy's has been good. We don't have empty storefronts to any extent. We have a great university, a great city staff. I count my blessings for where I'm at.
What is the status of, was it San Bernardino?
Yes.
And a couple of the others that declared bankruptcy earlier in this year, are they working through that process? What's going on?
I think those, if I'm not mistaken, those are Chapter 9 reorganizations where they're at San Bernardino, I think Stockton, what was it, Big Bear, one of those San Gabriel Mountain small towns that had a huge lawsuit. Those cities had specific issues. San Bernardino, for instance, had some kind of, like, it was a big sports center and a hotel that didn't quite happen or work out, and I guess Stockton had some of the similar things. You know, you can say a lot about our cities had, a lot has been said about our city, but you can say perhaps that our the politics in Arcata might be on the liberal side, but on the fiscal side we're we've remained on the conservative side of the column.
Now, there was a little bit of an issue with the was it water treatment facility? Is that, I know you don't call it things I call it.
Well,
the Memorial Lake, et cetera, has that all been cleaned up and taken care of?
Yes, actually, okay. I don't know, the employees call it the poo plant. Can you say that on the radio?
There you go. Yeah, well, that's pretty, that's close.
Did Aaron
so far
censor me there?
We're okay, but.
So you could say poo plant on the radio.
And you did it twice. Okay. KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
There's never been a clear winner in the so-called battle of the sexes, but in the battle for bacteria-free hands, one half of the population is germier than the other. So whose hands are cleaner, men or women? Hi, I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and here's to your health. The researchers tested 51 college students using a new detailed system for detecting bacterial DNA. But remember, most of the bacteria in our bodies is either harmless or beneficial.
Dr. Hoffman answers some of your health questions on Health Talk, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, on KWSW 980 AM.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Arcata City Manager Randy Mendoza. Randy, you brought in one of the old-timey books again.
Well,
what is this one all about?
Well, as I was on my way out the door, I thought I'd just go into the vault and grab something, and the one I grabbed was the Town Hall Meeting of Arcata, March 1st, 1898. And it talked about the, these are huge, big volumes that are handwritten in cursive. And I just think that they're history of Arcata, and they should be shared. They don't do anybody any good in the vault.
It's kind of interesting that they're written in pencil, though.
It's in pencil, and they're in great shape. You know, it talks about the Finance Committee reflected favorably at the following bills for a total of $161. And they bought things like gravel and a flagpole and things like that. So that's kind of interesting. They also did an election proclamation. And it says the following, and again, this is outlined in pencil and cursive. The following election proclamation was then issued. I thought this might be good for an election.
Kind of a timing thing, yeah.
It was hereby ordered that the election incur for the town of Arcata, state of California, to be held on the second day of May 1898 for the election of the following offices, to wit. And we have 5 town trustees.
Which have evolved into city council.
Right. And I don't know if you can read any of those names there. Let's say there's a marshal and
a Simpson? Or is that? No, that's not Anderson.
Looks like maybe that's assessor. I can't tell. Apologize, folks, for the it's all in hand cursive here, so we're kind of ad-libbing it.
Which
here
means that Randy didn't have his staff bail him out on this one.
All right, but it's.
I almost made reference to something else, but that's okay.
But this is live radio. You don't want it rehearsed.
No,
right?
No. Good God, that would mean we'd have to take some time to do this.
Yeah, so
it is kind of interesting. They got what library is in there somewhere, I think. Some of the different areas that were involved. Do you see the need for having more committees or less committees as Arcata continues to work through the century?
Well, I think we have as many committees as we can handle right now. I think we have 13 committees. I think that probably a total close to about 130 people. And we have
really?
To, yes, and we have to provide staff for most of those committees. So committees are great. I think for a healthy city, a sign of a healthy city is active citizen involvement. But I think we're pretty well maxed out on what our staff can manage.
Can you just audio tape or videotape the meetings?
Yes.
And we get some of those programs that will automatically transcribe it and not worry about it?
Well, we audio tape the advisory committees. And we just do action minutes. But for the commissions, like the Planning Commission, the Historic Design Review Commission, and the City Council, those are more detailed minutes. And, of course, they're also aired live on community access television.
If I cut it to another spot, what's June 6th, 1903? Well, that's frightening all by itself. That's 5 years later, and it was a grand total of about 150 pages.
Yeah.
So that's like 2 pages a week or per meeting.
That was before the McKinley statue was on the plaza, because
I think it was before the Brown Act, too.
That was before the Brown Act, yes.
Well, they're talking. The thing I find curious, and I suppose that for a local historian it would be comforting, blocks being referred to as numbers.
Yes,
so
and they still are.
Block 271, any idea where that is?
No, but I remember there was the City Hall used to be at the corner. An earlier reference in this book, they talked about the new City Hall, and that was at 9th and G Street, and that, of course, is where the Jitter Bean Coffee Company is now on the plaza in Arcata. That was the site of the former City Hall.
So what block number is that?
I don't recall, but okay. That was, but it's in there.
Your sidewalks getting put down on two of the older ones. It would just be, I think, intriguing, particularly for folks who are newer to the area to see when, well, it looks like sidewalks were a big deal. We got a bunch of sidewalk references in this one meeting about block by block, the approval of a sidewalk.
And they were probably wooden back then because we had all these mills with this great...
stuff called redwood.
Stuff called redwood, yeah. That lasted quite well. And I don't know for sure when concrete was introduced, but I'm pretty sure at the turn of that century, we were at wooden sidewalks.
Well, and there's no reference to wood or cement.
No. So if it was cement, they probably would have been a new thing, and they probably would have
made a big
deal out of it.
Yeah, here's another trustee investigation.
You know, they talk, there's famous names in here, like I ran across the name Devlin, and there's a Devlin Court up in Valley West, so Mr. Devlin was the clerk of the city council back then.
Well, I guess assume it's related. We'll take a break, and then I'll hit you with a couple of history questions of Arcata.
Oh, okay.
See if you can answer my question. We'll I have no idea what the answer is. I'm just wondering if you can answer.
Then I can make it up and make everybody think
yeah,
that
feel
I'm right.
good. Yeah. It's 3:41. We'll see how good we feel when we come back.
Water always wins. That's why there's a Grand Canyon. I'm Glenn Higgy, America's master handyman. Keeping water away from your home's foundation is one of the most important things you can do. If your home is on a crawl space, you need to know what is going on under your feet. Your home's structural integrity and your family's health may depend on it.
Listen to Glenn Higgy, Sunday morning, 7 to 8 a.m. on KWSW 980.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Randy, the question I had was Valley West. I think a lot of people who are of the area understand that it's part of the city, but it certainly is distinct as a neighborhood. How did that ever become part of Arcata instead of remaining part of the county?
Well, I think that the need for services up there was probably the main thing because, there's a lot of businesses that located there, and I think they needed water and sewer. And so it was within the sphere of influence of the municipal area. So I think that was probably at the time, I'm assuming it was just the logical thing to do, to incorporate it within the city.
Was that annexed in the 50s, 60s when annexation was going on left and right?
I don't know for sure. It's my sense. I think it was probably in the 60s. That's my understanding.
Oh, it would be kind of interesting if the fire district is what drove that. Well, which would be logical.
Back then, the fire district was not existent. It started out where the city had a fire department, and then there was the district. So I think it was in the early 70s. That the city of Arcata disbanded the fire department and transferred all the fire equipment over to the Arcata Fire Protection District, and which is what we have today.
So there was a full-on fire department at one point in the city?
At one point, I'm told by some that it may not have been a full-on fire department, that it may have not have been, it certainly isn't the shiny, well-functioning equipment that we see today. So I think that the
I thought you were almost going to compliment Ken and what he's doing at Humboldt Bay. Well, apparently not, huh?
Well, absolutely. I understand he's doing a great job, actually. But in Arcata, I'm talking about the Arcata Fire Department, while it was a city fire department, had something to be desired. So I think that it's been a great thing for the folks in Arcata to have the district take over.
Nice recovery.
You don't want to get the fire department mad at you now.
No. See, I'm standing behind him on this one.
Good.
At least in Eureka.
Now, good. Yeah.
You know, I catch on fire in Arcata, it might not be quite as quick a response. But we were looking at this current book here. We went to the last filled-in page and ran into something that was rather interesting.
Yeah, it's a resolution from the town of Arcata, March 27th, 1903, and it has all the whereases that we have in resolutions these days, and they're resolving that that the question as to whether said town of Arcata shall become reorganized and reincorporated as a municipal corporation of the sixth class with the name of City of Arcata under the general municipal laws of the state of California to be submitted to the voters of said town of Arcata at the general municipal election to be held in said town on Monday, the 4th day of May, 1903.
That's kind of cool. And it looks like it's redundant from that point on, talking about the same stuff over and over and over, which I'm sure is very technical, legal stuff that
we still
right
use
over my head.
The resolutions to this day, we still use whereases for the resolutions. I think that's a standard city format.
So does this mean then that the city is 109?
No, the city is close to 150, I believe. But we, this was a different, this is probably my guess, not having any time to research this, my guess is that this was probably to comply with either a new law in California on municipalities or to change the way the city does its business. But the city had already been organized well before March of 1903.
Litigation containment?
It could be. They probably didn't have too many lawsuits back then.
No, not nearly as many lawyers as we have today either. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Brian.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Randy Mendoza. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.